Plus. Well, friends, we kind of thought it was going to come to this. Welcome back to the Buffer Podcast. It's F9, the Fast Saga versus the world. I'm Tony Tone.
I'm Joel Krausar.
Joel, I think we both knew that it was going to come to this point where Fast and the Furious 9, the Fast Saga, was going to be a thing. And just a couple of memorable quotes from F9. The world has a way of changing, but there's one thing that always stays the same.
I think I laughed harder. First off, it was just so good to be back in a theater watching a big blockbuster movie, you know, on an XL screen with the Dolby Atmos surround sound around us. Like, it was so good to be watching a movie in person with my friends, that the speakers are going, and I've laughed so hard because God bless America, Tony, as it is 4th of July week. That's some of the worst, cheesiest dialogue I've ever seen in a movie, and I loved every second of it.
And I think it's okay, like, because Joel and I sat next to each other for the first time in a movie in a long time, and I think it's okay to laugh at just how ridiculous a movie like F9 is. And when Dominic Toretto says things like, no matter how fast you are, no one outruns their past. And mine just caught up to me.
Is there a more mediocre actor that thinks he's the greatest actor than Dominic Toretto, than Vin Diesel?
I feel like I like Vin Diesel. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know him personally. But I love Groot, and like, I'm kind of like a late adopter of the Fast and Furious franchise. Like, and Joel can attest to this. There were several moments during F9, the Fast Saga, where I was like, I don't know who this is.
That's Han. Or, that's Han, Tony. That's right. That's Han.
I don't remember that Han died. I think I knew that he died, but so there's just there. And by the way, spoiler alerts for F9, the Fast Saga. Spoiler alerts. There's just a lot going on, but I had a conversation this afternoon. Someone said, in talking about this, they said, I think I've seen the first two. Would I be lost? And I said, absolutely not. I mean, you might not know some of these characters or their stories, but they do, Joel, a really good job kind of catching you up to speed so that you don't feel bad if you're kind of, you know, a late adopter like I am, or quote unquote flying blind into F9, the Fast Saga.
Well, yeah, and the movie is self-aware too. So these Justin Lin who directed this and the writers of it, they know what it is, and they're totally cool with it. It's like all of these franchises, or all of the movies in this franchise, knows exactly what it is, and they don't shy away from it. Like, I'm not going to a Scott County wrestling show,
right,
to be blown away by high level storytelling, and I'm going to a small local wrestling show to watch guys say hilarious stuff on a microphone and jump through a table. And that's kind of what on a scale, that's what F9, that's what these Fast and Furious movies all are, except the budget has just grown exponentially, because what has been proven is that really, really bombastic stunts and set pieces and crazy things like a Pontiac Fiero in space move the needle to the point where you can spend as much money on the effects, because you're going to make your money back and then some. There's also just such global appeal to these movies too. It's not just an American audience that has just consumed these, because the dialogue is so simple, it's translatable into any language. And, you know, the overrunning thought of a family You know, right. They're truly, they try to make these legitimately sentimental movies, and it's pretty baller that they're able to pull it off, and like it doesn't completely suck.
No, it doesn't, and it's kind of like there's a guy on TikTok that does these great. He's like, all right, we're doing another Fast and the Furious movie. Give me a plot. Give me a location. Give me an exotic location.
Well, it's like an improv card. Sketch.
Give me a crazy promise. Like, that's kind of how these feel. It's like Mad Lib. Like, Dom has a brother that we didn't know about until now. And the brother's John Cena. And then Tyrese and Ludacris, they're going to go to space and they're going to drive through a satellite and they're going to survive.
Yeah. Because
like, who's the writer that's like, I got an idea.
But they drop the ceramic coating, right. You know, that is, you know, gonna help them get through the atmosphere. So that's gonna probably be impact resistant as well, going through the satellite. But the thing is they none of this is set in reality, so you can completely suspend it 100%, and you're good to go. I remember a few years ago, The Onion did a great video where it was like the screenwriters of Fast and Furious, and it's just like 10-year-old kids at a just throwing out, like, what would be the coolest thing we could see? Like, remember sitting in a sleepover, and you're like, wouldn't it be awesome if you could jump a go-kart through a ring of fire, but then it caught this on fire, and then you lit a whole row of fireworks? Like, I mean, that's basically extrapolate true. That you have Fast and Furious, not the first movie, you have F4 through 9.
Yep. And these just continue. So again, spoiler alert, there will be an F10. And I don't know. I would hate to ask, like, what's the conclusion? Because I don't, Joel, I don't think there's an answer.
I don't think you have to have one. I think you're gonna have the ability to spin this.
Well, I mean, that's just it. Like, I mean,
eventually you're gonna have like Dom's second cousin, like, right? Who shows up and she's a real street racer, and it's a she. Yeah. I mean, I think the next one they said is going to be more female driven, so maybe it's the Michelle Rodriguez show for that one.
Makes sense.
I mean, which Jordana Brewster and Michelle Rodriguez are just so good in these movies. They fit these weird, you know, roles as the, kind of the guiding lights to these, you know, overly testosterone-y male, you know, gearhead characters that could easily just be these aggro,
absolutely,
you know, douches that none of us will have any tie in. But you get these characters like Mia and Letty that just completely ground. It's a miracle. It's actually a writer's miracle that they've grounded a world that should really just be annoying. Of Ed Hardy t-shirts and exhaust pipes. That it's enjoyable.
And then you have Cardi B show up. So, I mean, it's just,
I could have done with that. That almost took me out of the movie.
I just think, like, there's a lot of in their setup for this, right? But there's a lot of great Ludacris and Tyrese moments where their characters are essentially like breaking the fourth wall. They're like, we never die. Like, we have good luck. We never
immortal.
Die. Like, we're self-aware that, and like, there's so many sequences where people are just shooting machine guns at these characters and they have the worst aim. Nobody ever gets, like, that's part of it is like, and I know that I'm the guy that's like, I want Godzilla and King Kong to have consequences, and I'm mad when it doesn't. So I can't be the guy that's like, because you know that there's, I mean, I think maybe eventually F10, maybe there's a consequence. You almost think like they would have to have something traumatic happen to.
Well, they've had characters die. I mean,
I know. I'm just saying, sometimes in real life, which is very unfortunate with Paul Walker, but I'm saying like to not reset the timeline, but you could see them taking out, like, not Dom, but, you know,
Charlize Theron shoots Dom's baby mama in the head in the last movie. Right,
that's what I'm saying. They need that. I feel like they're maybe heading towards another one of those. So I just want to back up. If you're tuning into The Buffer, typically Joel and I would put each week a piece of content, movie, TV show, streaming series, documentary up against each other. They're not always relatively new or fresh, but that's kind of the case. But when you have a movie like F9 that is really perhaps the first summer blockbuster since the pandemic that's kind of driving people, pun intended, back to the theaters, this week we are literally putting F9 up against all of our weekly winners so far in the buffer battle. So that's F9, the Fast Saga, taking on Sweet Tooth, Loki, and Bo Burnham's comedy special. So, Joel, if it's David versus Goliath, and Goliath is Dom Toretto and John Cena. And I don't even know, like, I don't know how you stop an F9, but I do feel like
they tried. Here's how they tried. So let me make the case for F9.
We had a lot of strong content.
So let me make the case for F9 here. Everything should have gone wrong with this movie. And here's why I say that. Writing, bad. Plot, really, really, really thin. So if you, again, spoiler. So you have these two halves of a device that completely attacks every binary fundamental piece of equipment in the world. If it gets uploaded to a satellite, but the satellites that are currently can't have it be uploaded to it, so they have to launch their own satellite in order to infect the rest of the satellites and thusly infect the rest of the world. So, again,
I'm following you. Go on.
And, of course, wisely, we kept these two pieces apart. You know, Infinity Stone, like, we have to break them up and spread them throughout the universe. In this case, it's spread them underneath a cathedral in Scotland. And the other one was discovered by Mr. Nobody when he caught Cypher. Now let's talk about Cypher. I think Cypher is the linchpin to the future of the Fast and Furious franchise. Yep. And Cypher is played by Charlize Theron. Holy crap, how is Charlize Theron and Helen Mirren now in the Fast and Furious franchise?
It's crazy.
And thank God they are, because this has so much energy. If you think of this movie like some sort of a comet that is being sprayed through the cosmos, you can't control the direction of a comet. It is just burning gas that is propelling it forward. And that is really like a jolt of nitrous to the system is what this Fast 9 and this movie is. It's trying to just go out of control. Huge set piece in the jungle to start it all off. You know, we're flying literally across bridges that aren't there, and we're getting our front axles caught in a tow cable. And then all of a sudden, and you get an actor like a Charlize Theron on the screen who just brings it all back with their gravitas and resets the plane, and then they go forward again, and the second they start to wiggle, all of a sudden Helen Mirren shows up and she sets it again, and then the third act of the movie, Charlize is a huge part of the third act. So it's brilliant, the fact that you had these two really great actors, I think, who kind of reset the stage and kind of set everything back on course, because that's not a skill that Dominic Toretto, that Vin Diesel, and John Cena as Jacob Toretto have. They just don't have it. And just like the polarity of super magnets that we're going to be, oh, I'm sure that we need to talk about too. There has to be some sort of electrical current that is keeping those magnets at bay, and that is those two actresses of Helen Mirren and Charlize Theron. That's why Fast 9 worked, is because you had these grounding presences, and also the whole super magnet thing is cool as hell, man. I want electromagnets. I mean, just in these cars, they can control everything. And the last few episodes or the last few movies, the cars got really out of control. And this one, I think they kind of went back to, there's just some badass cars in this movie. Mm-hmm. And they made them super instead of, you know, driving submarines.
I just feel like it was really predictable. And again, this is going to be so hard to try and make a case against a movie that is not trying to not be predictable. But like, I guessed it, and I didn't say this, so I'm not going to sit here and say like, I told you so, because we were sitting next to each other. But I knew for sure when they tried to say like, okay, so Dom has a brother and Jacob has been gone for a while, John Cena, and then he shows back up, and then maybe Jacob killed their dad, who is a race car driver that was in debt, and like So there's this, long story short, Jacob's like the super agent that's trying to get these two halves to make the whole to control all the satellites. And then you could tell that like Charlize's cipher was going to convince the financier of Jacob, John Cena's character, like to team up. And then that's what happens. And then you kind of get like Dom and Jacob in the last like 15 minutes, like, okay, we're going to work together, even though we were just trying to kill each other for the last, you know, 2 hours. So for me, that's where it's like, I knew this was going to happen. I'm not disappointed that it happened, because at that point, once that starts to go into motion, I know that they're going to end at a family dinner. And it's like, okay, so F10 is inevitable.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is all happening. But I from a purist point, like Sweet Tooth is really, really good, and it's like critically acclaimed, and it's beautifully done. And Loki is super weird, but gaining momentum. And Bo Burnham, I think, Joel, my wife has watched Bo Burnham's comedy special 10 times. He is, that might be, with the exception of F9, the Fast Saga, Bo Burnham single-handedly may have the most original, thought-provoking, funny, emotional, like that might be the best thing that's come out of 2021 thus far. So that's where I'm torn, is like the purist in me feels like F9 is just a popcorn, ridiculous, fun, over-the-top movie. But is it going to be something that you go back to watch again? I don't know. I probably will not rewatch F9, and I have watched Bo Burnham at least twice. Does that make sense? Like, is that a fair argument?
I think it's a fair argument. I just think that I don't agree with it. And here's what I mean by that. So I've watched the Bo Burnham thing twice and love it. I'm the one who brought it to the table here. I'm 100% behind it. You know, going to a wedding this weekend, and you know, I'm a groomsman, and there might be some downtime, you know, in the morning or whatever, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm usually the one who is called upon to be like the entertainment, as far as, do we go see a movie, do we go play golf, do we go, you know, watch something on Netflix. I'm apt to say, because I know that none of the guys, the other groomsmen, have seen the Bo Burnham thing yet, because we've talked about it. If I had to pick between holing up, you know, at my buddy's house and watching the Bo Burnham thing, or going to the movie theater to catch the 10 o'clock F9, you know, before we have to get all suited up and take pictures, I'm going F9. I think that... I think there's a time and a place, and I think we're in the middle of summer. Let's go balls to the wall. Let's have some fun, and let's go watch F9. The time for thought provocation is gone, Tony. That's an early June thing. We're getting ready to 4th of July. It's bombastic. Let's let it rip. Let's let the Fast Saga. Let's F9 this. Let's go.
Well, and as you stated earlier, and my experience with walking into our local movie theater here in Muscatine, Iowa, the Palms 10, shout out. It was the busiest I've seen it. And I think I even said to you, is the pandemic over? Because there's like a line and there's people. And it was like one of the most normal, quote unquote, feeling experiences I've had. So I'm so happy to have had that experience. And I think that when we talk about these summer popcorn movies, you know, I didn't walk into F9 expecting to be, you know, to have a thought-provoking experience. I walked in ready to go, this is ridiculous. I knew for sure that I would be laughing during scenes that are either meant to be sentimental, or it's just the unbelievable dialogue that they write for Vin Diesel. And I think that's fine. And this is what's so hard about a podcast that battles content. Like, I don't know what I could say to take out this Goliath. Like, I think it's a clear cut win for F9. But I will say, like,
what,
you know, in a world where there is an inclination perhaps to go back to the theaters to see a big movie like this, also leave room for those smaller either movies or pieces of content. I think you can have both. It's the buffet of content, right? Like you can go all in and have the entree be a ridiculous Fast and the Furious movie, and you could also stay home and enjoy something that's streaming that's really good, like Derek Delgadio, which we talked about on this show before. So that, I'm just saying, like, I think you can like both. And I know for some people they're like, no, you guys are posers, you can't like F9 and Derek Delgadio or Bo Burnham or Sweet Tooth.
That person needs to listen to my playlist that bounces from the last movement of Mahler 5 to AJR's Bummerland to I mean, I'm just telling you, like, if you think that we're posers because we're all over the place, it's because that's the way my brain is. Like, I can sit there and watch. I like to see a cubist painting just as much as I like to see a Banksy, graffiti art. So,
yeah. No, I just think, again, like,
I'll fight somebody who says that.
I have room in my brain for both of these, for all of these, with F9 and then Sweet Tooth and Loki and Bo Burnham.
Okay, I'm going to throw a curveball at you here.
Okay.
All right, so I think we're agreeing that F9 is kind of this juggernaut. David Goliath, it is the Goliath. And because we don't have the Rock of ages in this particular movie like he has been in others, that's a little biblical joke there for a second. Let's start bench cut this. Okay, so I think we're agreeing that the Fast Saga is the winner, but so we'll put that aside. Now these last three, if you had to just put the best of the three between these three here for the month of June, which one are you starting? Which one are you benching? Which one are you cutting of Sweet Tooth, Loki, and Bo Burnham?
So I think I'm still. Oh, this is tough. I think you start. Oh man, this is like a Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen thing. So I think I start Bo Burnham, but I've got Sweet Tooth right there.
This is a Chris Mullen, Tim Hardaway debate.
to complement the game that is Bo Burnham, and I'm benching Loki because. So Loki's on Disney Plus, new episodes every Wednesday. This last episode, Joel, was like, it was very strange. And I'm so glad that I didn't have to try and come on this podcast and talk about it. Cause like, I don't really know what the hell happened.
Happened is I turned it off. I was like, I'm done.
I'm still curious though. And like, I'm still curious. So I think it's Bo for sure. It's Bo 1, it's Sweet Tooth 2, it's Loki 3 for me. I just want people to watch Sweet Tooth because it's really good and it's different, but it's just so well done. But yeah, I think that's where I'm at. And again, there's been the benefit of this podcast and for all of us is there's so much great content to consume. I mean, it is the buffet, to reuse that analogy. Like it's just a never ending. It's just like all your favorite desserts as a kid. It's like that scene in Hook when they're doing all the imaginary desserts. It's just, holy cow, there's food everywhere, right? Like that's how I feel. It kind of can feel overwhelming. And especially when you're tasked with trying to consume things for a podcast sake, or just as someone that likes to watch it, like, I feel overwhelmed sometimes, right? Like there's a lot of stuff out there. So, but yeah, that's where I'm at. That'd be my team. That'd be my squad running like that.
I would agree. That's the start bench cut lineup I had too, as I thought about it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so F9, the Fast Saga, is your winner for the month of June?
Well, it's going to pay mortgages for decades for these guys, so don't act too shocked while it won.
No. Listen, I'm happy to have seen it. It was a great experience. I just want to say before we take a break that if you go to see F9 in the theaters, spoiler alert, there is a mid-credit stinger scene. And we don't want you to leave. I had a conversation with someone today that left and they didn't know that they cut to someone punching a punching bag with a hood on. And then all of a sudden it's Jason Statham who plays Hobbs or Shaw. I don't remember.
He's Shaw. The whole Shaw family. Everybody. Helen Mirren's his mom, so it's...
Oh, that's right. Okay. And then, but like the best part is, Joel, he's punching this punching bag and then there's a person inside of it.
shit, there's a person inside the damn punching bag. And he zips it down and the guy's like, whatever. And then he zips it back up and then Han walks in and they don't get along. I don't know. Like, what's their story? But they're going to both be an F-10, right? I mean, am I getting that right?
I'm sure.
Han and Shaw have a good, bad relationship? I don't know.
I mean, we're in phase 4 of the Fast and Furious cinematic universe, I think. So, but boy. Justin Lin is, you know, he's kind of the shepherd of this whole IP, and he's got a vision, and what that vision is, I think, remains to be seen. But I rewatched all of them in preparation for F9, excuse me. And I think that there's so much potential if they would just go back to the formula from the first one and have more street racing. But they've become such international super spies that it's just hard.
Yeah. F9 on Rotten Tomatoes, 59%, by the way. Just want to put that out there. That's fine.
What's the box office mojo number? What is it? A billion already?
70 million domestically, which is great. It's great. They're going to drive. Like I said, they're driving people back to the theaters. All right. F9, the Fast Saga, your winner on the buffer. And we're going to fasten our seatbelts and take a quick break. So don't go anywhere, Toretto. And we're back on the Buffer Podcast. Hard to believe that we are sliding into the month of July. If you're
power sliding. Pull that parking brake and we are good to go.
It's happening, Joel. July is upon us. The content continues to be abundant, and we're heading towards the Buffer Guilty Pleasures, where Joel and I share things that we are currently enjoying and we're happy to share. So I'm going to start with this just because this is something that is still relatively new, I would say. I think it was within the last week or so, and that is Luca on Disney Plus has been on a device, TV, tablet in my house, I would say 4 to 5 times already. I've seen Luca in its entirety, and then I feel like I come into fragments. I didn't realize that Jim Gaffigan is the voice of Luca's dad, and I'm all in on Jim Gaffigan. So I feel like Luca would have done well had it been released in theaters. But that said, the Disney marketing machine, you know, it had the McDonald's Happy Meal toy, which is kind of all you need to know. It's on Disney Plus and it's very enjoyable. Has that popped up at your house yet, Joel?
Yeah, Luca? It was watched, I know, at least twice this week. I haven't seen it yet, though, but I know it was viewed by at least my two youngest. And I think it was watched at a sleepover on Friday night as well.
Nice. So, yeah, I think it's a guilty pleasure, but at the same time, like, you know, Joel and I both have kids, and they tend to rule the roost when they're awake, and it's nice when they can find something that's new and not like another episode of Ziga and Sharka, whatever, on Netflix, or Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, or
Optimus Prime Transformers cartoon that my youngest has really gotten into.
Is it still the same Optimus Prime voice guy?
Which is pretty awesome that guy.
Optimus Prime. Great voice. Unbelievable pipes on that guy, right?
Fantastic pipes.
You know what they say about Optimus Prime? Nice pipes, man.
One of my high school buddies, their ska band when we were in high school was called Optimus Primed. That was the name of their band.
That's fantastic.
Great, great high school band right there.
They did a lot of Mustard Plug covers, I bet, didn't they?
Yeah.
Welcome to Ska Talk, everybody. That was a ska band back in the day, Mustard Plug. All right, guilty pleasure, what do you got? Besides ska band documentaries, apparently. Joel playing audio from Just Friends?
Yes.
Wow. We must have the trademarks to that. Thank you, Ryan Reynolds.
I'm under 12 seconds, so I think we're good.
Aviation gin. I feel like we should be able to play any darn movie clips that we want if we're promoting these pieces of content.
I do. I do think we're good because I think if you're under the 15-second mark, I think
so
we're
where
good.
Was Just Friends?
It I know was, that you took it. It was on TNT. Like of course I was just it was. Flipping through the channels and it was on TNT, and I literally jumped up from the couch and was like, "Yes!" I said that out loud, and my wife was like, "Why are you so excited?" And I said, "It's because the best comedy that nobody ever talks about is on TV right yep. now," and it came on right at the point of his younger brother tasing Anna Faris's character in the mall, and I just that movie slams every single scene from the opening credits of Ryan Reynolds in a fat suit singing "I Swear" with a retainer in the mirror. I have such a vivid memory of seeing that movie in college, seeing it with my 6 roommates at the Discount Theater in Sioux City, Iowa, and it just became such a staple. And I think you and I have talked about it, that it's hard to find on streaming right now. And I took your advice. I pulled the trigger and I bought it. I now am the owner of Just Friends off of I have the digital copy of it on Amazon. So
I guess I haven't watched a lot of cable. I watched Conan's last episode on TBS, which was great. But I couldn't tell you the last time I watched like a movie on TNT. It's been a while. So are you here to tell me, Joel, that like Just Friends is now in the same slot that like Enemy of the State was in for 10 years?
I think
that's great. If it's in that kind of regular rotation. Like,
remember when Anchorman was on almost every weekend on TBS?
Yeah. And TNT? I wonder, like, I mean, obviously, I think the thing is like, when Just Friends came out, Ryan Reynolds was not quite.
He was the guy from Two Guy, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. That's what he was.
Yeah, and I would have to say yes, and don't quote me on this, but I feel like Just Friends came out before Waiting, right? Because like Waiting was another step in the rung on the Ryan Reynolds career rung. He made a couple like I don't want to say minimal moves because Just Friends is one of the best.
But he did
comedies.
That romantic comedy with Sandra Bullock. So,
that's right. That was a big one too.
It was The Proposal. So he's this guy who tried.
I love the guy.
Yeah,
I love
me too.
Him.
Well, Van Wilder. Van Wilder was the big one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Van Wilder hits. That's his catalyst from Two Guy, a Girl, and a Pizza Place. And then Van Wilder hits in 2003. And then I think Just Friends was the rom-com coming off of that. And then, I mean, and then he did one of the X-Men movies. Like, because the whole Deadpool thing spawned, I think, from him actually being in one. I could be wrong. I probably am. We need Wes on the podcast to give us the Deadpool history. But I just, this movie, though, like, it's just such a... It's such a fixture in my comedic mind. Like, if I'm quoting a movie, it's either Anchorman or Just Friends, most likely. I've got a kid on my baseball team whose name is Dusty. And every time I say his name, I think of Dusty Lee. Like, when he's gets hit in the mouth. I mean, it has transformed.
Dusty Lee?
Yeah, it has transformed moments of my everyday life will automatically tie it back into this movie. So it's definitely a guilty pleasure for me because I can watch it anytime. And I think about it fortnightly. And whenever somebody asks me what's a funny movie to watch, I always ask, have you seen Just Friends?
And you're kind of like not disappointed when they say no, because you know they're going to get to have the joyful experience.
And it's problematic. There are definitely some things from the 2005, 2007 range that you just shouldn't say now and you shouldn't do. But at the time, right, wrong, or indifferent was allowed and it was funny. And
I don't think anybody's going to... I understand what you're saying, but I don't think anybody's going to cancel Just Friends. But
there's the F word.
I get it. I just think like watch it with context if you haven't seen it, but it's just so damn great. It's, I would love to, here's my pitch for a Ryan Reynolds interview. You can come on and plug Mint Mobile and Aviation Gin. If we can just get an hour of just friends, that's it. I don't want to talk about anything else.
I feel
just
like if we hit him up on social media, there's a chance.
Maybe it's not, maybe Ryan's like setting the bar too high. Anna Faris in a second, like, because she's so great. She's so
well. The guy, what about the guy who plays great. His brother? What is that actor's name?
Or the wonderful actress that plays his mom?
Who she reminds me. Okay,
what ham did you slap?
Okay, but I have to say this, and I've told you this before, not on the record, like not on a podcast or on air. Mm-hmm. When we went to Chicago and I met your mom, Sheila, for the first time.
Yeah.
I immediately just thought of the mom from Just Friends. And I mean that in the most loving way. Like, he's like, it's just this sweet lady who's innocent, who's just, she just has probably had to put up with so much crap from her children. And like, just, she just, I immediately, they kind of have a similar timbre to their voice a little bit. And it just made me chuckle because that, your mom, honestly, honestly reminds me of the mom from Just Friends in real
life. I don't know, she probably hasn't seen it, but when they go to see The Notebook, like, that's such a brilliant, because I feel like
use of the old school party line, like, too.
It's just so great. Like, Joyce, I just like,
why are you at Joyce's house?
When they, like, they go to see the movie, it's just so great. Like, it reminds me of when my mom took us to see American Beauty and didn't know what it was and then made us leave. So, like, because God bless her. But then at the same time, like, that's, my mom is the same person that, again, unknowingly bought American Pie tickets because I told her it was just like a silly kids movie and then found out after the fact. And then I think I've also shared one of my favorite memories with movies is my mom insisting upon and renting the old Dirk Diggler classic.
Boogie Nights, yes.
Boogie Nights, and me timing it out just right so that at the very end I happened to run upstairs to get something to drink. And from the basement, I just hear, "Oh my God." Because if you remember how Boogie Nights ends, it's a.
But they took it to that it's point a doozy. To say, "Oh my God."
No, I mean, it was uncomfortable all the way through, but just kind of knowing what was to come at the end of that, I was like, I can't watch this scene with my mom.
So yeah. I'm thankful I didn't see that movie with my parents.
That could be a whole other podcast, like movies.
That should be a new category. We should do that for like next year. Is
uncomfortable movies you saw with your parents, whether intentionally or unintentionally. I could,
that might be one we need to have Bridenstine on for. Like, we might need some professional comedians to come on and help us with that.
No, I think
if you listened to last week's episode of Hunk with Mike Bridenstine, friend of the pod, my beloved musical genre took a beating in the last episode of the Mike Bridenstine Hunk with Mike Bridenstine podcast. So that's my guilty pleasure.
It's a great guilty pleasure, and it's definitely one that should be celebrated just friends over and over. We are going to slide into the buffer confessional to confess things that we surprisingly haven't seen.
Confessions.
This is definitely the thing that I hear about the most. And I've had a lot of texts from friends and family that listen to the Buffer Podcast. Thank you. Wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, Spotify, and anchor.fm, rate, review, and subscribe. They're disappointed in the things that I confess. So I don't know if what I'm going to confess this week will make that list, and I'm going to let Joe go first, but I feel like it might come as a surprise, but that's why we put up the trust tree. We get into the confessional and we share what we share on the podcast. So, Joel, what are you confessing this week?
So we kind of wanted to focus on the highest grossing movies of the 4th of July weekend for this confessional, just to bring some focus to it. And I was looking at the list provided by Looper.com, and I go to a lot of movies on 4th of July weekend is one thing I've learned. Like, I think I've had that come up in other confessionals as well. But this, there was an easy one, and it was easy to diagnose, easy to see, and easy, not just because there was only one of two on the list that I could even say on the list that we were looking at. And that is Twilight Eclipse, the Twilight Saga Eclipse. I've not seen it, and it's
now, does that mean that you have, wait, does that mean that you haven't seen any of the Twilight movies?
I've just seen the first half of the first one.
Wow, good for you. So this is what happens when, and given when these came out, I don't want to make assumptions, but you just celebrated your 15th anniversary. So like I was at a different point in my life, and I was taken to see these movies, these damn twinkly vampire movies. And that includes, and I think Eclipse is the last one, if I'm not mistaken. Please don't correct me on that. I don't remember. But I've seen all of them, Joel, and they're not good. They're not good. I would say if we're going to talk about vampires, and excluding like Blade and, you know, like Dracula and like, you know, like real vampires, like, I would rather
real vampires. Let's get this serious. Like, real just vampires.
Like, just like better quality.
Not hear me ones out. That I, make you tingle.
Yeah. I would rather rewatch the entire series of True Blood, including the end where it got super weird. And there's a great moment where Christopher Maloney's character just explodes. It's just weird. But I would rather rewatch all of those episodes than ever sit through a Twilight again. Not for me.
I just love how there's vampire connective tissue between True Blood and Twilight. And that is the Pitch Perfect IP, as Anna Kendrick is in the Twilight movies, and was it the girl, the blonde from the first Pitch Perfect? What's her?
Yes,
Anna Camp is in True Blood. So you've got my favorite a cappella movie, Pitch Perfect, tying into your vampire stuff. So
I tell you what, man.
I can do it. I'm like the Kevin Bacon of acapella. I can just
string did I ever tell you the game that my friends and I in high school used to play when we would be riding the L train into the city of Chicago?
No, but I feel like maybe you should save this for a different episode.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm getting the old hook, everybody.
I'm just saying.
On my own show.
I'm looking at the time, okay. And we're running low. No, that's
fine. It's a great game, and it's basically the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, if you'll have it. All right, my confession.
Interestingly enough, I have an idea for a future episode this month that involves public transportation, and that's why I was thinking you could hold it for that. So
this week's episode not brought to you by Muscabus. My confession is Spider-Man Far From Home, which is the latest Spider-Man movie within the last 2 to 3 years before the next one comes out, where there's going to be like multiple Spider-Men in it. So I haven't seen Far From Home. I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal was in it. It seems like it was okay. I would like to see it.
It was better than okay.
This is where we're at, Joel. Since it's a Sony property, I don't know where to stream it because it's not on Disney Plus, and it's really frustrating. Like, I'd like to watch it. I like Tom Holland. I like Jake Gyllenhaal. But I don't know where to watch. I literally, and I'm not buying it. Like, tell me where I can stream Spider-Man Far From Home and I'll do it. I don't know if anybody has that answer readily available. I don't know where to find it.
I'm looking it up.
It's okay. Well, don't worry about it since we're short on time, everybody. If you do know, drop us a message on our Facebook page.
Prime Video is your answer.
Okay. How much is it going to cost me?
Too much. It's included in your Prime membership.
Say what? I'm going to watch it tonight. All right. Before we get out of here for the week, we got to talk about dress socks and Crocs and some funny moments from our daily lives, courtesy of our friends. Happy.
Dress socks and Crocs.
Okay, so dress socks and Crocs, parenting, wins and losses, funny moments in life. If you're a listener of the show, you get that. But if you're just tuning in for the first time, Joel and I each have three kids. We have full-time jobs. We do this podcast on the weekly. It's a creative itch for us. We like to have fun and, you know, talk about things that we enjoy, which is content amongst other things. But then we do have these instances in our lives. And I want to just share briefly that it is, we're on the heels of the 4th of July, and we are in the state of Iowa, specifically in Muscatine, Iowa, where you can legally light off fireworks July 3rd and 4th only. That does not seem to be the case with some folks. As I was doing, we're doing the podcast, some fireworks going off in the neighborhood, which is fine, I guess. Long story short, my kids and I bought some sparklers, bigger sparklers from a fireworks tent. And I didn't realize that they had somehow gotten a little moisture in them. And I don't know if you've had that experience, Joel, where you have three kids and they're like super pumped and they're outside and it's hot and you have the dad grill lighter and you're trying to light the damn sparkler and it's just not going, and they all start to freak out. And then three out of three are just crying, screaming, swearing, and they dried out and we used them the next day. But that's it. Don't let your fireworks get wet and then try and light them.
Mama, don't let your fireworks sit out in a rainstorm.
I felt like a failure, Joel.
I felt like a complete failure. I don't think you're parenting if you don't feel like a failure at least 80% of the time. Like, it's really, like, baseball, the reason it's America's pastime is not because it's, you know, was started here and whatever. It's because it teaches us all as kids that you really can only be successful about 20%, you know, to 30% of the time. And right. It's okay. I mean, that's because it's preparing you for parenting. And you mentioning, you know, rainy fireworks stands and wet sparklers, the rain and the storms that we had, thankfully, because we had such a drought there, but the water that we got and the precipitation we got, not only did it come raining down, it I think one of the trees behind my house got struck by some lightning, and that's what took the branch down. I know I sent you a picture earlier today.
I didn't know it was lightning.
Because as I got into it, it looked like it was there was definitely some scorched wood as I was getting into this tree. I had to cut three giant tree limbs down with a pole saw and not one of the power pole saws. Yeah. I'm pretty sure my shoulders aren't going to work in the morning.
Yeah.
And not that I'm weak, it's just that that's a motion I'm not used to doing every single day. And when they say buy a house, you'll love it. You get equity. You're not paying rent to the man anymore. They're 100% right. But man, does it suck when a tree or something on your property has an issue and you... I haven't invested in all of the right tools. Thankfully, my dad has them, and I was able to go borrow his pole saw, but I need to get a chainsaw. That's basically what I've learned is I have enough, because you've been to my house. I don't have neighbors behind me. It's just woods, and so I think these trees are going to continue to become trespassers on my property line, and I'm going to need to be able to cut them up when that happens.
Did you have to attend to it today, though? I mean, was it going to get it? I know it's Sunday, and yeah, it's
the answer is yes. I mean, yeah. I know that the Lord would have liked me to sit and pray all day, but that's just not in the cards. So yeah. we've got ball every night this week, so it's and I am very thankfully married to a woman who likes a tidy home, and that includes the backyard. And that's the other thing too, is your kids play back there during the week and whatnot. So it's
figured it's you would have opted to support one of our local landscapers in town that could have came done it for a nominal fee, Joel.
I understand, you know. But I am also, because
I mean, like, you, if you don't have, but listen, you have the excuse, you don't have the tools, and then your dad's got a pole saw. Like, If I'm you and I'm like, and I see the pole saw, I'm like, first of all, great name for a band.
Pole saw.
I'm out. Like, I'm texting my friend.
Pole saw, man. What kind of music does pole saw play?
They would be a live cover band. So they just do lightning crashes and that's it.
But
it,
the thunder, when the thunder sound, is it just one of those big band saws that they're actually...
I just feel like you had the opportune moment to go, honey, love saving money and being fiscally responsible. However, the option is pull saw. That's not going to get the job done in a timely.
No, it gets it done. It
sure.
Took some time.
I would have like.
So
again,
there's another factor to this. Just hear me out.
What are you going to burn the wood? Is that the factor?
No.
Kindling? You got kindling?
There, I think that there's a certain chemical reaction that can happen in a significant other when they see the other one doing vigorous manual labor out in the backyard. Like, I'm not, I can't prove that. I'm just saying that if history of, I mean, there's something to be said for when you want that piece of cake after supper or something, or you know, the scoop of ice cream, when you can say that you've put in a solid day's work, you know, cutting wood, cutting up a tree with, you know, thankfully my dad did have a chainsaw that I was eventually able to get it cut down to the size where I could use this smaller chainsaw to do, and that helped. But
well, I'm glad that you got that taken care of. I just think,
plus there's just a great feeling of like picking up this tree that you cut down yourself and hauling it back deeper into the woods and just chucking it into nature. Like, there's just, I don't know.
In high school.
See, I didn't grow up in the city like you did.
My friend Pete and I pulled a tree down, full-size tree, for his mom using a pickup truck, some chain, and a couple of handsaws, and we pulled a whole tree down. So I'm not saying, and I landscaped. That was like my first job.
I'm saying
I don't have the tools either. Like, my mom has my lawnmower, so I'm having my friend cut my grass that has a landscaping business because it's affordable. I don't know. I get it though. I don't think I ever would have the means to justify a chainsaw. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to go to the store and buy a chainsaw.
I think the biggest thing is that there's a couple other trees that I have learned I need to have a look at. And you know, you and I are fortunate in our lives. We've got a tree guy. And I know that if I needed him today, he would have been out there to do that.
True story.
But yeah. I've got a couple others that I think Marty will come out and take a look at. But they're just not quite ready, and it's not quite in the budget yet, too. Because, man, you know, you got three kids playing sports, going to private school, which is not, I'm not complaining about. If you can cut the tree down yourself, you cut the tree down yourself.
That's good advice, and that could definitely be a line in Fast and Furious 10, spoken by Dominic Toretto.
And it was a family affair. I did have my two sons out there hauling wood, too. So
that's great. All right, listen, we're going to get out of here with the Buffer Podcast this week. F9, the Fast Saga, is your winner, and we hope that you'll go support your local movie theater and see whether it's F9 or some other new movies coming out soon, like The Boss Baby, Family Business, Fear Street Part 1, is on Netflix, The Forever Purge, The Tomorrow War is on Prime Video, and then next week the biggest one for sure will be Black Widow, which will drive people to the theaters. The Buffer Podcast is available on wherever you get your podcasts, like if it's on your iPhone or if it's Spotify or if it's anchor.fm. please rate, review, subscribe, keep listening. We're going to keep putting these out each and every week. And Joel, I think we're going to talk about some 4th of July movies as we head into the 4th of July weekend, and we hope that everybody will tune in for the next episode of The Buffer. All right.
We got a lot of excited people in my house for Boss Baby 2. The first one is a staple, and I actually really like it too. I also really like Glengarry Glen Ross, so I like that they have a lot of homage to that.
Super good. They were just watching half of it this afternoon in my house, so we are all in. All right, well, we'll be back in just a couple of days, and thank you all for listening to the Buffer Podcast, and go see F9 because Ludacris and
Last thing.
Go to outer space.
Last thing. Is Ludacris a good actor?
He's very funny. Yes. I'm going to say yes because he went to my high school briefly.
Of course he did.
And I've been a Ludacris fan. I love rap. No secret. So I'm a Luda fan, so I'm all in. I like him. I like Chris Bridges. He's a big fan. I love Chris Bridges, Ludacris. I think he's a fine actor, and he'll be an F-10 because they didn't die in outer space, so they made it.
His role in the Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman, No Strings Attached, where he's the buddy.
Yep,
he's great in that. I'm glad you said that, because yes, I think he is a good actor, and he should get more work. That's my thought.
All right, Ludacris, we're pulling for you, man. You can make it. All right, we're out, everybody. Take care.